The Adventure of the Copper Beeches, Chapter 1, A Dangerous Offer. It was a cold morning in early spring. Holmes and I were sitting each side of a cheery fire in the old room in Baker Street. Holmes was not in a good mood and puffed irritably on his pipe. "Crime is common. Logic is rare," he said. "And who cares for logic anymore? My work seems to be nothing more than an agency for recovering lost pencils and giving advice to young ladies from boarding schools." I stayed silent. Holmes was best left alone in this mood. "This note," he continued, "marks the lowest point of my career. Read it." He tossed a crumpled letter to me. It said, "Dear Mr. Holmes, I am very anxious to consult you as to whether I should or should not accept a post as governess. I shall call at 10:30 tomorrow if that is convenient to you. Yours faithfully, Violet Hunter." At that moment, the bell rang, and shortly after, a young woman, plainly but neatly dressed, entered the room. She had a bright face and a brisk, businesslike manner. "I'm sorry to trouble you," she said, "but I have had a very strange experience. I have no parents or anyone else to ask for advice." "Do take a seat, Miss Hunter," said Holmes. "I shall be happy to help you if I can." Miss Hunter began. "I have been a governess for 5 years. 2 months ago, my employer went to Canada, and I found myself without a job. I use an agency in London called Westaways, which is managed by a Miss Stoper. I call once a week to see if there is a job to suit me. You will understand that I have very few savings, and I need to find a post very soon. Last week, when I called, Miss Stoper was not alone in her office. There was a man with her, a very stout man with a smiling, ruddy face. When I came in, he said, 'That will do. I could not ask for better.' Then he spoke to me with the most engaging smile. 'What salary do you ask?' 4 pounds a month. "Pitiful," he cried. "Your salary with me would start at 100 pounds a year. This seemed too good to be true. I felt that I needed to know more, so I asked, "May I inquire where you live, sir?" "Hampshire, a place called Copper Beeches near Winchester." "And what would my duties be?" "One child of 6, that's all. You should see him killing cockroaches with a slipper. Smack, smack, smack." "My only duties are to look after the one child?" I asked, wanting to be sure. "Your duty would be to obey any little commands which my wife might give. Nothing out of the ordinary, I assure you."
"I should be happy to make myself useful."
"Quite so. Now, about the matter of dress. We are faddy people, but kind. If we ask you to wear a special dress, for example, would you object?"
"No," I said, though I was surprised.
"And to cut your hair short?"
I could hardly believe my ears. My hair is my pride and joy.
"Oh," I said, without thinking what I was saying, "I'm afraid that's impossible."
"But it must be done," said the man. "My wife has these fancies, and you know how such fancies must be obeyed."
"I'm sorry," I said, "it really is impossible." His smile disappeared. He looked disappointed. "What a shame. In all other ways you are quite perfect." Miss Stoper looked upset and cross. As I left the room, I thought that I would now be unlikely to get a job through her agency. When I got home and saw more bills to be paid, I thought I had been foolish. I had lost a good job just by refusing to cut my hair. The next day, however, there was a letter from the man, who was called Jeffro Rucastle. He offered to raise the salary to £120 a year and asked me again to take the post. She passed the letter to Sherlock Holmes. He read it with interest. "Should I take the job, Mr. Holmes?" Holmes sighed. "I think your mind is already made up." "Should I refuse? I do need the money, and the salary is good."
"It is too good. Why should he pay £120 when he could get someone for £40? I would not like a sister of mine to take such a job." She looked downcast. I thought if I told you all about it, I might be able to ask your help if I needed it.
You may rely on my support, if you find yourself in danger.
Danger? She cried. What danger do you foresee?
It would cease to be a danger if we knew what it was. Send me a telegram any time, day or night, and we shall be there.
Violet stood up. Thank you. I shall go down to Copper Beaches easy in my mind. Tonight I shall cut my hair, and tomorrow I shall travel to Winchester. She thanked us and left.
We will hear from her before many days have passed, said Holmes. He sighed, but he already seemed to be more cheerful.